So here we are in the first Sunday in Lent. Not the first Sunday of Lent. We don't do Lent on Sundays. These are Sundays in Lent. This is how 40 days works out the way it does. But when we think of Lent, we often think of giving things up. Lent is another one of those things that has made its way into popular culture. People who have no particular connection with the church or to any particular spirituality will still be aware of giving things up for Lent and frequently do. Nothing particularly wrong with it, but they may as well give things up because it's February when it comes right down to it. But we may choose to give things up for Lent, and giving things up for Lent is a good thing to do, as long as we're doing it, of course, for the right reasons. And as I've spoken before in other years, giving up Lent, or giving up something for Lent, presupposes that you can have what you're giving up. You're not allowed to give up stealing, for example, for Lent. You're not giving up a bad attitude for Lent. Giving things up in Lent are giving up things you can legitimately enjoy. So if you choose to give up chocolate or watching television, or if you choose to follow the most difficult Lenten observance I've ever had, which is giving up eating after supper. These are all things you can do, and you choose to give them up. And we choose to give them up for a couple of different reasons. But probably the primary one, at least for most people, is we give them up as a bit of an identification with Jesus, who came, and when he came to earth, gave up all kinds of things. We tend to think of Jesus giving things up just in the context of his public ministry, and sometimes even just in the context of the Passion, where he gave up his life, of course. But it probably wouldn't hurt us to remember that for Jesus coming to earth, his giving things up, the suffering that he went under, or underwent, began at the moment of conception. Because when Christ came to earth, he gave up all of those things that set him aside from a human being that were part of his divinity. He gave up omniscience, knowing everything, and omnipotence, having all power, being anywhere he wanted, and he became like us, having to walk around to get from one place to another. And one of the things that we do in Lent, if we choose to give something up, is we identify with that. It's not exactly the same, of course, but it's an opportunity for us to enter into at least some of what Jesus might have experienced. And that's a good thing. One of the things we can do for Lent is we can add other things in. We can perhaps read a devotional book, or read parts of Scripture that we haven't read before, or spend more time there. That's also a perfectly acceptable and honorable Lenten observance. And if you choose to do any of these, I strongly support you in that. You don't have to. It's not a requirement. You don't have to check off a box later saying that you did give something up, or what it was. But this year, for Lent, I thought I would look at Lent from the perspective of it being a reminder of all the things that we have already given up. And we've given them up, once again, in a sense of identification with Christ. And when we look at, in particular, the three temptations of Jesus that were in our gospel lesson, we'll see that Jesus gave some things up, and so do we. And the first thing that we see that we have given up that comes from where the devil says to Jesus, "If you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." We have given up the right to have everything we want. We haven't given up things, but what we've done is we've given up the right to have everything we want. Because frequently what I want isn't really all that good. I often want to be unpleasant. I want my own way. I want people to listen to me and do what I say. All of these things that we want, that we have given up, not just because we're decent human beings who realize that if we're going to live in community of any kind, we have to limit ourselves in some ways. No, in the same way that Jesus gave up having whatever he wanted. When we look at this story, Jesus had been in the desert for 40 days, apparently eating nothing, and in a stupendous bit of understatement, at the end of them, he was hungry. Jesus wanted to eat because he was human. After 40 days, every human being wants to eat. It's as simple as that. But he gave that up in this particular moment. Why? To demonstrate that he was above hunger? No. To demonstrate that he was somehow better than someone else because he gave up something, in this case eating? Of course not. He gave it up because it was important for him not to give in to this temptation, both as an example to us, reading it later, and also as a sign of who he was. And someone who had a full understanding that we don't live just by bread alone, and that sometimes eating is less important than doing the right thing. Jesus gave up that right, and so did we. When we moved into our relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we gave up the right to just have everything we want, and when we don't get it, to be upset and crabby about it. And during Lent, if we choose to give something up, or whether we even if we don't, it reminds us that with this relationship came some losses. Because not having whatever you want is a loss. The fact that it's better to have lost that doesn't change the reality of the loss. And it's one of the ways that we identify with Jesus. We then see that the devil took him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. I've always wondered about that. I don't know how literal this passage is meant to be taken. So I don't know whether it was a literal experience of Jesus being taken somewhere and somehow through the power of the devil, who obviously is quite powerful, see all the wonders of every kingdom. It must have been quite the thing, whatever it was. Just an extraordinary experience. And Jesus could have had all of it. But he chose not to. He gave up the right to be as powerful as that. And we have given up the right to be as powerful as we want. Because being powerful and having power, at least according to one person, it's fairly easy. All it takes is complete devotion to becoming powerful and a complete indifference to every other human being. Doesn't sound like a life I want to live. Certainly doesn't sound like a life that represents what God has for us. But when we came into this relationship, when we moved into this deeper understanding of who we are, who we're created to be, and our relationship with God and all that it means, we gave up the right to be as powerful as possible, or as powerful often even as we want to. We all would like to be powerful, I think, and all of us can be. There is no one so small and weak that they can't find somebody else smaller and weaker to boss around. We want to be powerful sometimes, and sometimes we want to be physically dominant over people, sometimes emotionally, sometimes financially, whatever it might be. But we've given that up. Jesus could have taken that opportunity, and he didn't, because what he was after was more important than that. And for us, giving up the desire for power and giving up power just for its own sake is not because we're weak, but because we see that there are things that are more important than power. That our relationship with God is more important than dominating our neighbors or our co-workers or our family. And we're willing to limit that because what we're actually after is more important and that would get in the way. What would Jesus' ministry have looked like if he had become that person, if he had taken on all of that? Would it have been the same? Of course not. It couldn't be the same. Because one of the things that Christ came to teach us is that what the world calls weakness is often strength. And what the world pursues in power doesn't accomplish what we actually want it to. We've given up that right to be as powerful as we want. And during Lent, we remember again that so did Jesus. We identify with him through that. And whether we choose to give up chocolate or not this year, we're reminded that we've already done this giving up of that particular right. And the last one is interesting as well. Jesus at the top of the temple and is challenged almost that if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here because God will save you. Jesus says no. Well, one of the things that we did when we moved into this relationship as well is we gave up the right to tell God what to do. Because that's what that's all about. That's telling God that what you want doesn't matter. I'm going to throw myself off this roof and you're going to catch me because I told you to. And we probably don't put it quite as boldly as that. But I suspect all of us have had those moments where in prayer we've told God what to do. And it comes often from good motives. It's not that we're telling God to necessarily make us rich or something. I found out just a little while ago that one of my cousins is spending every week in Regina. Unfortunately, he's spending it at the Cancer Lodge, where he's undergoing treatment for colon cancer. I know what God should do there. He should heal him. But do I really know what's best? No, I don't. I don't know enough. As I've said often, and as we've spoken often in other places, there are all kinds of things in our lives that we would never have chosen, that we look back on and say, that was a critical moment in my development as a Christian, as a human being, and while I don't like what happened then, I won't give up what the outcomes were. We don't know enough to tell God what to do. But knowledge doesn't always affect what we do. The fact that we don't know enough frequently doesn't keep us from trying to pretend we do. But one of the things that we've done is we've given up the right to tell God that this is what you have to do. And if you don't, like a petulant child will say, I won't worship you anymore, or I won't believe you are who you say you are, or whatever it might be. But we've given that up in the same way that Jesus gave up that right. And he had it in a way that we don't even, to tell God what to do. But we've given these things up. But why? Just because? There are all kinds of people who look at Lent as an opportunity for the demonstration of superior self-discipline. And I'm not quite sure that's what Lent's all about. Some people look at Lent as sort of a Protestant version of flagellation. Not really know anything that, well, Catholics really don't do flagellation either because it doesn't really produce what anybody thinks it should. That's not what Lent is about, and that's not why we did these things. We don't give things up in Lent as some kind of spiritual one-upmanship against each other or even against ourselves. The purpose of giving things up in Lent is, to be sure, part of that identification with Jesus, but it's also to create more space in our lives. When we give up watching television and replace it with reading trashy novels, we really aren't that much further ahead, if at all. But if we give up television and use that time to be with our families in a different way, that's a good thing. And it accomplishes what Lent should do. If we give up television or whatever else it might be and we read scripture more or we read those books that change who we are for the better, whether it's a devotional book or whatever it might be, if we set aside that time we would ordinarily spend watching television, and then there's nothing wrong with watching television, but if we give that up just to spend time reflecting on who we are in God, then that's exactly what we should be doing with Lent. Because Lent isn't about losing weight, although there's nothing wrong with losing weight. It's not about simple self-discipline, although that's also a good thing. The purpose of Lent is to remind us of who we are. And every time we enter into those Lenten exercises, whether they are the removal of something or the addition of something, it moves us closer to that ultimate goal of becoming who we were created to be and making us more and more like Jesus. Because that's always been the goal, is to become conformed more and more to the image of Christ. We work towards that. I'm not convinced we can achieve it with perfection on this life. I don't think we live long enough. I'm not saying we can't, but if we don't, it doesn't mean we're failures. But we move towards that. And we don't just do it in Lent, although Lent is a time for us to think carefully about it, or at least to think about it in different ways or try different things. But when we ask ourselves, what will we give up? It's helpful for most of us, at least, I think, to answer that question in the context of what we've already given up, and these things, the right to have anything we want, to be as powerful as we want, the right to tell God what to do, that's part of our daily lives. And as we exercise those things, maybe in special ways during Lent, but whenever we do them, we're becoming more and more the human beings that we were created to be. When we enter more and more fully into these things that we have given up, knowing that we have chosen what's better, even when we have gone against the stream, even when we've given up things that our culture tells us we should never give up, we become more like Jesus. And there are lots of wonderful outcomes from that. Frequently, when people give up things during Lent, they do lose weight. And that's great. They didn't do it for that. It's an outcome. And our outcomes from these things that we've given up are just as extraordinary, are just as valuable. And they're an ever-increasing conforming to the likeness of Christ. We become more like Jesus. And the more we're like Jesus, the more we become the people that we were created to be. The more we become those people, the happier, the more effective, the better off we are. Does it mean everything's easy? No, of course not. Giving up eating after supper was really hard. There are other things I've done during Lent that were pretty easy, and the end of Lent, I thought, well, I might have learned something, but I'm not quite sure. Boy, did I learn a lot about myself that year. Lessons that stay with me today. Lessons that made me a better person. And every time I become a better person, I'm more like Jesus. I'm closer to the ultimate goal of being the person I was created to be. So what will we give up during Lent? Maybe the better question is, what else will you give up during Lent? Not because there's an answer that you have to make, but let's remember during Lent, no matter what we do for our Lenten exercises, let's try and take a moment or two here and there to reflect on what we have given up, and even more, why we gave it up. And even in the midst of Lent, a celebration for many people of self-discipline and giving things up, let's remember how much we've gained, how much more we're like Jesus now than we were when we first started, how much closer we are to that ultimate goal of being who we were created to be. Amen.